Hi, everybody. This is Andy Stanley. And before we jump into this month's podcast, I wanted to remind you that on March 28th through the 30th, 2011, March 28th through 30th, North Point Community Church will be hosting our annual church leaders conference called Drive. Now, for all of our podcast listeners, we have a special rate. So if you'll go to the website, driveconference.com, that's driveconference.com, and use promo code POD11, that's POD11. You'll get a special rate because you're one of our podcast listeners. So I hope you'll mark the date, March 28th through 30th. We hope to see you and members of your team at Drive 2011.
Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further, faster. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about challenging the process. Andy, this idea of challenging the process is something that you've talked about on a couple of occasions with our staff. And the last time you talked about it, you started with the following statement. You said, progress is always preceded by change. Change is always preceded by challenge. Challenging the status quo is often where leadership begins. Where did this idea come from?
The phrase challenging the process or challenge the process actually comes from the very first leadership book I ever read, and it's called The Leadership Challenge. Mm-hmm. In the book, the author sort of lays out a mandate for leaders. Here's some things that leaders do, and that was one of those things, was challenge the process. So that resonated with me. I like challenging things, and I thought I want to be a good leader. So I was in probably my second ministry job at that point. And so I just began challenging the process.
And how did that work out for you?
It worked out about as well as you might imagine. That this was not – I guess the people I was working with had not read the book, and they did not fully appreciate this new leadership approach that I was taking.
So what'd you do?
I quit challenging the process. Yeah, this idea became a helpful reality for me once we started North Point Community Church. I realized pretty quickly that I was limited to my way of seeing the world, like every leader is, and that the only way to gain access to ideas that I didn't have was to surround myself with people who had better ideas and who had permission to challenge my ideas. So I began teaching on this, and I began very early on saying to our young leaders, you know what? I want to benefit from what you know. I want to see the world the way that you see it. And so we need to create an environment here where there is a freedom to challenge the process. One of the things that the author says in the book is this. This is on page 48 of my version. He says this, leaders must challenge the process precisely because any system, and I think this is great, any system will unconsciously, as if a system had a conscience, right? Any system will unconsciously conspire to maintain the status quo and prevent change. The idea being that once a system is in place, even a good system, systems by nature, the fact that they are systems, restrict change. So the only way to bring about change is you can't abandon systems or you don't get anything accomplished. You have to have systems, but you have to have an environment where people have permission to challenge the systems or challenge the process. So we began to teach on this, and not only teach on this but encourage it, but at the same time teach people how to do this in a way that didn't create the same drama I created when I, you know, finished this book for the first time and just started challenging the process.
Because 15 years ago when we began, we really challenged the process in just about every area. I mean, especially, I mean, as it related to the local church, we went dress code, music, staffing, communication style, even the vision.
Yeah, everything that we did early on was a challenge to church as we knew it, not challenge for challenge's sake. We just thought it was better. But that's always the case with leaders. Leaders challenge the process because they think their ideas are better ideas. And again, challenge precedes change. It has to be that way. Yeah, our vision to create a church that unchurched people love to attend, you and I came up in churches that unchurched people didn't necessarily want to attend. That's why they were unchurched. I mean, why would an unchurched person want to go to church? So the whole idea of creating a church that unchurched people would love to attend, even that was a challenge to traditional processes. But therein is the danger, because it would have been very easy for us to sit back and say, well, we are so, quote, non-traditional. We are so much more relevant. We're so contemporary, whatever the words are. Then we don't need to challenge our processes because we are a challenge to the process. But That's the point of this idea. There must be constant challenge because, as he says, the status quo conspires to keep things from changing. Systems, by their very definition, resist change.
Right.
And every system needs to be changed at some point.
Right. So what once was the challenge to the process is now the new normal, and we're this big sophisticated new model, and so, hey, yeah, we can just relax and take it easy.
Yeah. Everything becomes the status quo eventually.
Right.
And it's so hard for us to imagine, but it's absolutely true. And anybody listening to this podcast knows intuitively mm-hmm. that's true. But then, you know, you finish the podcast and you go back to work and you
right.
do basically what you did yesterday, the day before, the day before, the day before. Somebody comes in with a new idea, you feel challenged and you resist it because the natural reaction to challenge is always resistance. You know, that adolescent thing in us never completely goes away.
Right, right. Now, when you presented this to our staff, you told us there was something you wanted us to know, and then you said there was something you wanted us to do. Share those with our audience.
Yeah, part of my reason for talking to our staff about this was to encourage, for them to feel freedom to challenge the process, but to also help them understand how to do this, because there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Have I mentioned that? And I began
a couple of times.
Yeah. So here's what I wanted them to know. I wanted our staff to know that our mission and vision is permanent, but that our model is temporary, that our programming is temporary. And I wanted them to hear me say that, because in our organization, because I'm the boss, because I've been here from the beginning, you know, we hire 25-year-old, 35-year-olds. Mm-hmm. They've been here for 6 months. And it would be – I understand why they would assume, hey, there are certain things that are off limits. And I just want every single staff member to know what is off limits and what is not. We're not really going to have a discussion on our vision, where we're headed.
Right.
We're not really going to have a long discussion on what our mission is. Now, we can talk about how it's phrased, how it's communicated, mm-hmm. the terminology, but those things are pretty much set in stone. But in terms of how we approach those things, all of that is up for grabs, and I want them to hear that from me so they know where the delineation is between, you know, what's off limits and what's up for grabs.
And knowing that, you ask us to do something.
Yep. I wanted them to know what was off limits and what wasn't. What I wanted our staff to do was simply this. I said, I want you to be a raving fan publicly and an honest critic privately. A raving fan publicly, an honest critic privately. By that, I mean this, that publicly, I want you to be a raving fan about our programming, a raving fan about our model, a raving fan about how we do what we do. But privately, I want you to be an honest critic. Now, when people get those two things confused, there's problems in the organization.
Right.
But if you can be a raving fan publicly and then come to me privately and say, you know what, I've got some questions, then it's the best of both worlds. We have a unified front to our audience or our customers or our clients, but at the same time, we're having honest dialogue about how we do what we do.
Right. And I think that really surprises a lot of our young leaders, because I think they come in big, successful organization, and they think that the way we do things is really just as set in stone as why we do it.
And that's because we're raving fans publicly.
Right, exactly.
You know, they come into the organization because they see a unified front, people who love what they do. They understand how all the dots connect. And so they come in and think, you know, part of what's attractive here, hopefully, mm-hmm. is the fact that we have a bunch of raving fans. So it would be natural for them to assume, well, then we certainly can't question any of this. And that's why I think as a leader, we have to say that every year.
Right.
I think I'm sure I don't say this enough. You know, be a raving fan publicly, be an honest critic privately, and learn to be an honest critic in a way that's effective. And if you do, again, we have the best of both worlds. But I think it's absolutely to be expected that new people coming into the organization would not understand that. And they probably didn't experience that at their previous workplace.
Right. And obviously, we love the way we do it because
right.
we're the ones who decided that's how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
It gets entrenched that way. But you want people around you who feel empowered to challenge
yeah,
that.
I want them to learn to do what we want them to do the way we want them to do it.
Right.
At the same time, to have some context in which they can question all of that while they do what they do the way we've asked them to do it.
Right.
And I think now after 15 years, we have enough of a track record to say, you know what, this isn't just leader speak.
Right.
This is a reality. Here are example after example after example of when new people in the organization or people who were newer to the organization raised their hand and said, you know what, I'm not so sure about that anymore. Yeah. Or, you know, I think there's a little sideways energy involved with that particular program. And so I think we have a track record of enough flexibility to where I think when I talk about this, people, they believe it.
Yeah. You actually told our staff this, and I'm going to quote it. You said, deep in your heart, you feel like if you were in charge of things around here, they would not only be different, they would be better.
That's right, because that's how leaders think. Right. I have no problem with the knowing that there are a bunch of people around me that walk out of meetings going, yeah, well, if I were in charge. And the reason I know that's true, that's exactly how I was.
Right.
But my approach to challenging the process years and years and years ago was terrible. I mean, there was so much arrogance and there was so much my way's better. And then, you know, to add insult to injury, I would talk about other organizations that I thought were doing it better. So, of course, that was a challenge. You know, I think I did it just about as bad as it could be done.
Yeah, I remember sometimes we'll have new staff members come in. They'll say, well, you know, when we used to, and we're like, well, no. You're we now. You know,
yeah.
they're we.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing. There comes some challenges with this kind of thing, or some problems, I guess I'd say, with this process.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of what I just alluded to. Challenging the process is often interpreted as a challenge to someone's authority or leadership.
Right.
You know, when I challenge you, even though I'm not really challenging you, I'm challenging an idea, I'm challenging a program, I'm challenging a product, I'm challenging a marketing strategy. But if that was your marketing strategy, if that was your idea, it's almost impossible not to take it personally. If you challenge my idea, I feel challenged. If you challenge my vision, I feel challenged. Mm-hmm. If you challenge the way I've been doing things, I feel challenged. So it's easy for people to get defensive because, again, the natural response to a challenge is defensiveness. It's really hard, I think, for many of us in leadership and maybe especially for young leaders to imagine that everything that is currently in place was at one time considered a good idea. You know, you walk into an organization and you think, why are they doing that? Well, they may need to change it, but at some point, that was probably a great idea, a revolutionary idea. Somebody may have written a book about that idea. Somebody may have won an award around that idea.
Right.
So one of the things I wanted our young leaders to understand especially was before you begin challenging the process, you've got to appreciate the fact that everything that is currently in place was put in place because it accomplished something important at the time. So don't charge in being critical of everything because everybody's current great idea will at some point need to be challenged. So I think by creating that context, it allows leaders to take a step back and say, okay, before I charge in and tell you all my new ideas and good ideas,
right,
I need to learn to appreciate what's currently in place.
Right. The status quo was once the challenge to the status quo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything was new. Everything gets old.
Right. Now, along those lines, you gave our staff some great advice regarding really the tension this creates. You referred to it as managing the fan critic challenge.
Yeah. I made several suggestions. I suggested they develop the art of challenging the process without challenging the authority of the leader. Mm-hmm. And it really is an art. It's very personality driven. It's relationship driven. Timing is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, in my world, I've told Sandra, you know, if I preach a bad sermon, please don't tell me on Sunday. You know, I need to know, okay? And this is information I need, but could we wait till Tuesday, okay? So there really is an art to challenging the process. So I made a couple of suggestions. Number one, I said, you know, when an instruction is given, follow through now, debrief later. Mm. You know, when somebody says, this is what I want you to do now, you know, follow through now, debrief later. If I begin to debrief or push back, then that just feels like an argument.
Right.
And all of us have walked out of our, you know, supervisor's office thinking, well, forget it. I'm gonna do what you say, but, you know, my heart's not in it. So
right.
You follow through now, you debrief later. A second thing I suggested was never verbalize your frustration with the process in front of other team members.
Mm.
A group is not the place to challenge the process unless a leader has invited that from the group. Because this is so personal, because some of these things are so sensitive, one-on-one is a far better environment to begin asking questions about the process. And, you know, I said, look, you know, don't confuse your insights with moral imperatives. And by that, I mean, you may have a great idea. It may be the best idea, but this isn't a matter of right and wrong. And depending on people's personalities, it's easy to go from this is the way I think it should be done to, by golly, if you don't do it this way, you're doing it the wrong way. And suddenly it almost moves into the realm or the category of a moral imperative. So.
And I remember you shared a principle with us as it relates to this public-private matter.
Yeah.
Share that with us.
Yeah, I said that public loyalty creates private leverage.
Yeah.
Public loyalty creates private leverage. The person I'm most open to privately is the person that supports me publicly.
Right.
But the person that challenges me publicly, they're just not going to have that much leverage with me privately. Now, should it be that way? No. But is it that way? Usually.
Yeah.
And so, again, to leaders who want to learn to challenge the process, learn to be a raving fan publicly of ideas and your boss, and you'll gain leverage privately. So again, these were, you know, just some suggestions.
Yeah. Well, one of the statements you made that had a lot of us who manage a lot of young people smiling quite largely was, you said, remember that no doesn't necessarily mean your boss is not open to change. It may mean your idea isn't any good.
Yeah. There are such things as bad ideas. I have them frequently.
Exactly.
You know? And in fact, I often begin the discussion with, this is probably a bad idea, but I've at least got to get it out on the table.
Right.
And again, I think for young leaders to remember, you know what, you may just have a bad idea. You know what, you may be absolutely convinced, but it may just be a bad idea. So don't take no as an unwillingness to change. Right. Just remember there's always the category of I might be wrong.
Yeah, then you gave our leaders some great advice. Create opportunities for those who report to you to challenge the process.
And this is what I've tried to do with this this talk that I've done several times with our staff, is if I create an environment where people understand they have permission and are learning to do this correctly, then I benefit. The thing is, I don't want anybody to keep a good idea to themselves because they don't think I'm open. Everybody loses. I lose, they lose, the organization loses. So in a healthy organization, there has to be the free flow of ideas. And in a healthy organization, ideas do not follow a chain of command. In a great organization, they flow through the path of least resistance. Mm. And so I want to think that I have access to people at all levels of the organization when it comes to idea flow. But the only way to do that is to every once in a while get up as the boss or the leader and say, okay, here are the non-negotiables. Everything else is open for discussion. All I ask is that you be a raving fan publicly and an honest critic privately, and let's figure out how to continue to make this better and better and better. Let's learn to challenge the process.
Yeah. Andy, one of the things that is really great to me about this is this idea of challenging the process has seemingly become more and more important to you in a season where it's really not that necessary. I mean, let's face it, you could play out the hand, large organization, you know, national, you know, impact, and it's like, why challenge it? Why is this so important to you in this season?
Wow. I think part of it is I love organizational life and I love the local church. And I think that my calling and mission in life is to create a great organization, but to create a great local church. And I just don't think the world stands still, and I just know nothing lasts forever. And I think too early on in my career, I got shut down so many times around things that I was convinced were good ideas, and they weren't all good ideas, but it's as if I had no voice. And I remember I told my wife this many, many years ago. I drove home from work one day and I said to her, I said, if I'm ever in charge, I don't want anyone to ever drive home feeling what I'm feeling right now. Not that I'm right all the time, not that I have to have my way, but I don't want anyone to drive away from a job or an organization that I'm in charge of feeling what I feel. And my feelings weren't wrapped around the fact that I wasn't getting my way. My feelings were all out of whack because nobody was even open to listening. Mm. I mean, I can take no for an answer if I feel like you've nodded and said, so what you're saying. If I'm understood, like most people, if people feel like they're understood, we can take no for an answer. And I think those early experiences have just made me, you know, almost maybe too extreme at times in trying to mine out of the young minds and people around us. What are you thinking? Why do you think that's a good idea? What do you think will work? How can we make this better? So I think ultimately it's a commitment to the organization, a commitment to mission and vision, and then just those early experiences of just feeling like, you know, nobody's listening.
Wow. Well, Andy, thanks so much for spending this time and just sharing these insights with us today on the podcast.